As we go through this 21st chapter of the book of Acts, I believe if we just keep in memory that these things are showing us what has happened, what can happen again, but it does not necessarily mean that everything that happens to these people's lives will happen to us the exact same way. We should draw a principle from God's word so that we can understand it. No doubt many of you have heard of people that want to start a business, get married. No doubt some that want to get a divorce. Some that want to really do something that's very unsavory. And when you try to talk to that person, they say, well, you know what, I'm being led. I'm being led. And that's code word. If you don't know what code word is, that's code word to mean I'm being led by the Spirit. And when you ask a person what that means by being led by the Spirit, many times you'll hear varying answers. However, if it contradicts God's word, that person is either being led by their emotions, their thought, their own will, or they're being led by somebody else's opinion. As we look in this 21st chapter tonight, we're going to see the man Paul, who was sent out by the Holy Spirit, whom he had selected Barnabas and Paul to do work, and he had sent Paul out to do work. We're going to see Paul tonight being led by the Spirit to about five different cities and varying degrees of trouble. I submit to you that Paul being led by the Spirit is very different than what many times we'll observe of other people being led by the Spirit when they are trying to accomplish what they want to a means that will give them financial wealth, that will give them the opportunity to look good in front of people. If we look at this passage and see what it means to be led by the Spirit, we may find that being led by the Spirit will put an individual in the position of being mistreated, to be hurt, to be wearied with much business for the kingdom. So let's dive right in and let's see how this passage lines up with what I've said thus far. The 21st chapter naturally comes up to the 20th chapter. So in 21, we'll roll and just start with this verse here. And it came to pass when we had gotten from there, we launched and came with a straight course to Cus. And the day following unto Rhodes, and thence unto Patara. Now, when he's talking about the day afterwards, this is after Paul, the people had kissed Paul, and they were sad that they wasn't going to see him anymore, the people that were in Ephesus. They were very, very sad, and we remember that. I hope we remember it. If we don't remember it, it's easy to go back to it and read it. Amen? Okay, I'll say amen. Thank you, Anne. Verse 2 says, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. So you can see Paul staying a day, and if you say he left the next day, he may stay 24 hours, he may have stayed a few hours and then left the next day. But it says, verse 2, finding a ship sailing over, we went unto Phoenicia, and we went abroad and set forth. Now, if I were to count all of these little cities that were in the one day, we'd have way more than five cities, but I really am centering in, starting with Tyre. It says, verse 3, now when we discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlay her burden. Tyre is an amazing, I would say, city in the Bible. This is the home of Jezebel. This was the home of Hiram. This was the home of the Phoenician people that had the abilities to do things on the water. They had the ability to deal with the cutting of the timbers and the trees, the stonemasons, things like this. Well, the city still existed. And remember, Jesus even talked about that city when he talked about Tyre and Sidon not listening. Well, let's move on down, since I'm just kind of making my remember that this Tyre, although it's four letters, it's mentioned much in the scripture about the ability of the people that have been there. It says, the ship was to unlay its burden, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. So we're in Tyre 7 days. who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up into Jerusalem. So here we have someone telling Paul that the Spirit is saying, you need to stay where you are or go somewhere else. Do not go to Jerusalem where you've been trying to go, where you've been meaning to go for so long. That is number one, the first warning that we see here in this chapter. Verse number 5, and when we had accomplished those days, those 7 days, we departed and went our way, and they brought us on our way with wives and children till we all were out of the city. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed. You see that there are families there. The disciples, they came with their wives, they came with their children, and when they got ready to go, they kneeled down. I remember one time there was a man debating a guy that I used to be on the radio with. When you pray, you're supposed to put your hand up into heaven. The Bible says when you pray, you lift it up, hold the hands. You don't kneel down. The Bible shows that there are many positions that individuals get into when they pray. Verse number 6 says, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. So that means when we've taken our leave, we took ship, we got on the ship, and they went home. They didn't stay there and build shrines and put flowers and sing kumbaya. They went home. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, which was named after Ptolemy, one of the people, the generals of Alexander. Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. So they there at Ptolemais one day. That's a total of 8 days. It says, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea and entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. Now, one of the things is that I don't remember seeing anybody else in the scripture named like that, the, with the definite article, the evangelist. Now, we know he was a deacon. Mm-hmm. We know that the work that he did was a sound work, was a stable work. And yet, today, when there's somebody that's supposed to be an evangelist, they can just pop that name on. And if you ask them what kind of works, what kind of fruit, what have they done in their lives, usually it's we preach somewhere or we said something. But Philip, this man is the kind of man that whenever he's doing God's work, he was able to preach at a church. He was able to do things in Samaria that was absolutely unequivocally wonderful. And it says, we entered into his house and we abode there. He was one of the 7. For you to understand who he was, who was one of the other 7 that stick out? Stephen, that was killed. And it says, and the same man had 4 daughters, virgins. Virgins. That means that these young women had not known man in the intimate carnal way, which did prophesy. And that's an amazing thing here, because some people, they would not let the children or the women or the young ladies do anything but maybe fix dinners, maybe read announcements. But the Holy Spirit, as we've seen, as we've gone through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gives his gifts to individually as he will. Now, do we know that they were prophesying in their worship service? We do not know. But we do know that it was recognized that they did prophesy. Understand this, if I hadn't said it in a long time, Luke often traveled with Paul. Tim, where do you get this? Luke is writing this book, the book of Acts. What does verse 11 says? And as we tarried, we, not as Paul traveled, not as they traveled, as we. So Luke would have known that this is the truth about these young women. It was recognized. They would have been absolutely wrong to say, you all can't prophesy anymore because you were Roman. Because your genitals are different than the men, so you can't prophesy and God's spirit can't be on you. That's a real wicked way to look at God's word. You may not reduce it to that, but if that's the only reason that you said God's spirit can't be in somebody? I didn't say that they were pastors. I didn't say they ran the church. But you can't stop God's spirit from giving a woman wisdom. You can't stop God's spirit from giving a woman the ability to be able to tell you what God's word has said. You can't do it. If you do do it, you're fighting against the Almighty God who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 10, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. We've seen Agabus before, I believe in about the 11th chapter, when he talked about there would be a dearth in the land. Well, verse number 11 says, and when he was come down to us, he took Paul's girdle. Now, we're not talking about something that women wear when they fat and they jiggly and they don't want to jiggle and they want to make everything look like it's firm and tight and it look like a pair of long shorts. You know, they used to have briefs for men, and now they have those, what do you call those kind of shorts that they make, that they're not boxers, but they're long briefs. Well, anyway, they used to have things like that called a girdle. And it was supposed to hold stuff in. It's not talking about that. It is talking about something like maybe a cummerbund, something that binds your clothes together. So it said he took Paul's girdle. He took that belt. He took that thing like a sash. Sometimes they would carry money in it. And he bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Agabus takes this belt, this sash, wraps his whole hand with it and wraps his feet, and then the Holy Ghost said it, that whoever this belongs to, this is what's going to happen. Now, can you imagine if you're saying you're led by the Spirit and somebody's showing you that the Holy Ghost has said they're just going to be bound up like this, hand and feet, and given to the Gentiles, the same kind of people that Jesus was given to be killed? Is that what you would want? Well, this is what happened to Paul. So look what the next verse says. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. One would think that the Holy Spirit is warning you, Paul. This is the second time you've been warned. Paul, the Spirit is telling you not to go. The Spirit is trying to warn you so you don't get arrested and bound. You could get killed, Paul. But what does Paul say? Verse 13, tell all of us we're waiting with such anticipatory joy. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying that the will of the Lord be done. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit can give an individual information. The Holy Spirit can allow other people to hear it. And one person take it one way and another person take it another one. How do you know what's right? What did Paul say? The will of the Lord be done. I'm being led by the Spirit. I was commissioned by Jesus. I've been appointed by the Spirit to do a job. And if it means I got to be on the beat down, if I have to be arrested, if I have to be given to the Gentiles and they kill me, so what? Being led by the Spirit does not necessarily bring a person fame and fortune. Being led by the Spirit doesn't necessarily win friends and influence people. Being led by the Spirit means you're being led by God. And since mankind do not like God, do not like to retain God in their knowledge, do not like to go along with the things of God and want to replace God, they will want to replace you. They will want to blast you out of the way and erase you. And being led by the Spirit of God is more than picking the job you're going to get. Yes, he can help you get the job you want. But in this instance right here, when I hear people talking about being led by the Spirit of God, this is something that I would not think that Paul would find favorable. But when we get our mindset to do the will of the Lord, I believe that you take warnings and you take things like that, and it lets you know to be prepared. Let me tell you what I mean, dear. Jesus said, if a man come after me and not hate father, mother, sister, brother, he can't be my disciple. Jesus said that a man's foe would be those of his own household. Jesus tells the disciples the time will come that people will kill you and think that they do God's service. I believe that the Word of God, Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit, the part of the Godhead, lets people know many times, be prepared. Stuff is going to happen. It doesn't mean to retreat from your work, but be faithful. Can you feel that, Ann, based on how God commissioned Jeremiah, told him what it was going to be? I see nothing really majorly different. Well, read some more of this sweeted word, Tim. I believe I will. Verse 14, and when we would not be persuaded, when he would not be persuaded, we ceased. I mean, we shut our mouths and said, the will of the Lord be done. And with us also certain disciples of Caesarea, and brought with one of them Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. So there's an old man in there getting a chance to have hospitality for the entourage that is with Paul. Now, we've just left Caesarea, and now we've come to this place to one of the disciples when we get up to Jerusalem. See, we took up our carriages and went to Jerusalem. Now we've gotten to Jerusalem where we wanted to be. We're with Mnason, and it says, and when we would come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. It looks like everything is going well. Maybe Agabus was wrong. Maybe the first prophecy was wrong. And it says, and the following day, Paul went in with us unto James and all the elders that were present. James, another name that would be Jacob or Jacob. This is the man that they gave a sentence in Acts chapter 15 dealing with the issues of the Gentiles and the Jews. And it said the elders were present. And when he saluted them, he declared particularly one by one, dealing with specific instances. He didn't say in general. There's a difference between the peculiar and the generality, or peculiar and the general. And it says particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. You all wanted me to go out. You all wanted us to have a message to give them. I had the message of Jesus. I had the message also of what to do about those Judaizers, and letting you see how God is working, because God had blessed us with our counsel and the way that we discuss things, so that he would get the glory and the honor and the praise, which is due his magnificent, holy, all-powerful name. Well, verse number 20 says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. They raised up praises to the Lord. Just like most of the time, if you ever hear rap, most of the time the rappers glorify themselves. How good they are, how beautiful they are, what they can do, what they have. They glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brothers, thousands of the Jews there which believe, and they were all zealous of the Lord. Do you see that? They glorified the Lord, but they said, you see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are that believe? They believe. They really believe in the Lord. But they are zealous of the law. And they being informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying, they ought not circumcise their children, neither walk after the customs. What is it therefore that the multitudes must needs come together? They will hear that thou art come. Unravel this, Tim. You know what, Ann, the amazing thing about this is just kind of digress. This is what you've been talking about for about the last 2 or 3 weeks about how this situation happened. You want to explain it for us? Okay, I guess the head shaking left to right means no. Paul gets there, and they are so excited about what God is doing, but they're like, there are a lot of Jews here that believe, but they're saying you're teaching against the law of Moses. There's going to be a problem. How do you know there's going to be a problem, Tim? Because it was a problem in Acts chapter 15. Some people still haven't gotten it yet. You know, you try to explain something to some people and tell them and they don't get it. They still haven't gotten it yet. And they want to find out. They say, you tell them not only that, but don't circumcise their children. They know that we're supposed to cut that skin off if we're going to keep the token of Abraham's seed, you know, because he gave them that seed, that sign, the foreskin, as to be a seal of the covenant. So Paul said, well, not Paul, but James or the elders said, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together. They will hear you are come. Do therefore this that we say unto thee. Do therefore this that we say unto thee. We have four men which have vowed a vow on them. We're asking you, we are saying, do this. There are four men which have vowed a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them. Purify yourself, Paul. You've been in the Gentile lands. So go ahead and purify yourself and be at charges with them. Be at charges. The things that's going on, be at charges when they make their expenses, that they may, they say, that they may shave their heads, and that all may know of those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself walkest orderly and keepest the law. Paul, do this for us. Go purify yourself. Whatever expenses that you pay the expenses as well. Be at charges. Shave your head with them as if you're in a Nazarite vow, that when people see, that they can see that you walk orderly and keepest the law, which is an amazing thing. I read one guy that was saying that this was some bad advice that was given to Paul. How dare somebody with their unmitigated temerity, with their slack mouth, living over here in America, I don't care if you're in Europe, and you over here in the 20th and 21st century, talking about what Paul was doing was wrong, and the advice that they gave was wrong, and you weren't there. Just irritates me, the arrogance that can proceed from the lips of some people. Hope to God I don't be involved with it, and somebody have to say the same thing about me, because the Bible says, with judgment you judge, you shall be judged. But here's the thing. Verse 25 explains something. He says, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. What they have just reiterated, what they have just stated, is that you do this stuff with the Gentile, but that is not what brings about salvation. This is to keep down an uproar. This is to give the individual the opportunity that maybe they would listen to what you say. They see that you're not doing something offensive, but we need you to do this right now to help out in a situation. Somebody say, that just can't be right, Tim. It can't, because that ain't what the Bible teaches. Because I've been reading the Bible a long time. Well, I'm going to show you something that Paul says in one of his letters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to look at the 20th verse, and I'm going to read something that's so magnificently beautiful for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I was going to read 20, but I think that I'll start at 17. Paul says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is, or a stewardship of the gospel is committed to me. So I wanted to show that I'm going to enter into a different topic, okay? What is my reward then? Verily, when I preach the gospel, that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge and abuse not my power in the gospel. Paul was talking about not making people have to pay him to preach the gospel. But his attitude is he doesn't want to abuse his power in the gospel. Keep that in mind. Paul does not want to abuse the power that he has and his liberty in the gospel and the rights that he has in the gospel. So, when I read verse 19, with that in mind, it says, for though I be free from all men, I have made myself servant to all. I don't have to, but I do. That I might gain the more. Verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Now, this might sound funny because Paul was a Jew. So what does he mean, as a Jew, I became a Jew that I might gain some? Unless he's talking about the kind of lifestyle that the Jewish people held to as being the most significant thing ever, many times surpassing the spirit of what God had to say. Paul says, I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law, as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law. To them without law, this is the Gentiles. He says, to them that are without law, as without law, not outlaw like a bad person, but without being outside of the law, being not without law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. He also says, to the weak I became as weak. Because Paul taught that people that didn't believe and had to have a whole lot of signs, they were weak. To the weak I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I by all men might save some. And this do I for the gospel's sake that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Now I could go on and read more of that, but we've already taught 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's roll back to where we were in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts and see how, again, what James was saying. James or the elders told Paul they wanted him to take the charges, verse 24, shave his head, do the charges, and conduct yourself as if you are a Jew. Not that you're saying that you are going to be one, but that you might be able to gain some that don't understand yet. That you might be able to gain some that cause a ruckus and cause confusion. It won't kill you to do this, Paul, but we're asking you to do this. So therefore, now when we're working in the book of James, we're going to integrate a little more of this into it so that we can get a good feel of James and get a good feel of the gospel. Verse number 26 says, wait a minute, it was something that I left out that I wanted to say. Let's go back to 25. And as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. You know, and talk about the things, idols, etc. That's what Paul is saying to those that are without law. We conduct ourselves as if we're without law. We're not playing games. We're not doing hypocrisy. We're trying to help some be saved. Because when the time came that Paul had to speak up, he did it. Galatians chapter 2. Then it says, then Paul took them in the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until the offering should be offered for every one of them. And that's powerful right there. Till the offering should be offered, knowing that Paul knew that these offerings were symbols, knowing that Paul knew that the substance was Jesus, to me that is a great condescension to be able to do that to help somebody. Oh, bless the Lord's name. Verse 27 says, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This man is eating teachers and everywhere against the people and against the law in this place. And further, brought Greeks into the temple and polluted the holy place. See, that don't mean a whole lot to us, does it? But if you think about that, even Roman law would allow a Gentile to be put to death if they violated the Jews' temple by going into the place where they weren't supposed to go. And now the very thing that Agabus had prophesied and the other man had prophesied, Paul being led of the Spirit, that is to follow the will of God. I had a man yesterday or something. It was a man or a woman. How do I know if I'm in the Spirit of God? Learn His Word. I promise you that the will of God is revealed in His Word. And you might find some specific instances where you don't know. You'll have the particulars. And sometimes God will, by the Spirit, show you. But sometimes God's Spirit is going to let you know things are getting ready to happen. You better gird up your loins. Can you all smell stuff happening in America? Can you hear it? Can you feel the wind blowing? Gird up your loins. I remember when I was a boy, I used to see that word loins, L-O-I-N-S, and it's just sometimes I just still would want to call it lions. You're going to need something like a lion to give you strength. But it says, he brought Greeks into the temple and polluted the holy place. Well, they had seen before with them in the city of Trophimus, a different city, an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Now, why would Paul bring someone in the temple that could be killed? Why? These people have jumped to a rash conclusion, but God's word is getting ready to be fulfilled in them. And all of the city was moved, and the people ran together and took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. Did you hear that ominous tone in my voice? The doors were shut. You know what that means? Whatever we do to you, it doesn't defile the temple. We're going to get you out of the temple and shut the doors, so whatever happened, if you get bludgeoned right here or whatever, the temple won't be defiled. Now, you know, and that reminds me of something that when we were going through the book of John the first time, the gospel, and we were talking about how the Jews were trying to get Jesus killed and crucified really quick because they didn't want to defile the Passover. They didn't want to be defiled, yet they were defiling the Passover because they were unjustly executing judgment and all of the things that they were doing, the atrocities of Jesus. Well, here, these men shutting the door to the temple because they don't want to defile the temple. Yet here is a man that's coming in the behalf of the one who cleansed the temple, who is the master of the true temple, which this one is a shadow of, and they're throwing him out and wanting to do him bodily harm, defiling the temple anyway. Well, it says they brought him to, and all of the city was moved. There's another little point that I want to bring on this. You know, many of us want to have a Christianity that make people like us and be friendly and that we don't bother anybody or stir up anything. Why is it that these men in the scriptures always stir up stuff? Were they just stupid? Were they just ignorant? Were they just barbaric? Or have we taken the edge off what the gospel truly is so that people don't get a good picture of what the gospel is, and therefore people really don't know to get angry with us because we're one of them? Well, it says the doors were shut, verse 31, and they went about to kill him. As they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all of Jerusalem was in an uproar. And this man is called the Chilericus. And what this means is like a kiliar, it's more than 1,000, or at least 1,000. He was over at least 1,000 people. So that term there is a term for a Roman that's in charge of a certain part of the military. And it says, the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in the uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left off beating Paul. Do you see that you could have missed that? Do you see that you could have missed that Paul was getting scant? Oh, everybody don't know what the word scant means. Paul was getting the beat down. Mm-hmm. Paul was getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Paul was being, what they call it on SmackDown? They just SmackDown. Paul was getting the SmackDown. And it said when they saw these soldiers, they stopped beating Paul, which is an amazing thing to me, because if you feel you're doing God's work with all your might and that this man should be put to death like that, why wouldn't you be like Phinehas? It doesn't matter what anybody else say. This man got to go. But when I see some opposition, my being led by the Spirit or whatever it is, it's going to stop. When Paul get opposition, he keeps going. Being led by the Spirit is not hocus pocus. It's doing what's necessary, whatever charge God has given you to follow it, and making it happen without violating the word of God. Well, it says they left off beating Paul. Verse 33 says, and when the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what had he done. Now, my question is, if he's bound with two chains, do you think they might have put one on his neck or his head, his back, his arms and feet? According to the prophecy, the hands and the feet. Being led by the Spirit of God will lead you to know that if you're doing God's will, there is opposition. If there is no opposition in your wretched so-called Christianity, you're not doing much. You can live 30 and 40 years and go to church, call yourself a Christian, and everybody loves you. Nobody quivers in their soul or feel any apprehension when they come and talk to you about wickedness. They comfortable talking to you about the dirt that they did or going to do. Who in the world, I'm going to say it right, who in the hell are you?
You are a hellion. If the wicked and ungodly can come before you and be excited about telling you about your dirt, their dirt, we better get our minds right. When we get our minds right, there are certain things you don't even get told. I remember one time I was asking Ann, they don't ever invite me to stuff. I keep hearing they went places and they did stuff and they were having fun. And she's like, Tim. I mean, because, you know, I felt like I just wanted to be asked. So I can say no. At least I can say no. They're like, Tim, they don't want you to go. They don't want you around. You're not on the same page with them. And I had to get my mind right. But we don't want people to dislike us. But most of the time when we do the game, they don't like us anyway. I give you this one for free. Yesterday I was talking to a man on the telephone. He was telling me how people didn't like me. How they just disagree with me. And different things of that nature. And I said, well, what do they disagree with? You just disagree to disagree. And then when we got to talking a little longer, I said, you know what? The very person you talking about does not love you. This is what this person does to you. This is what this person does to you. This person did this to you. This person did that to you. This person tried to control you. This person is wicked and ungodly. And I'm supposed to try to make this person like me when I see how they treat you? How are you going to use that person as a standard for what I'm saying and what I'm doing? People try to get you off track because it's like you can make people like you if you just change. Yeah, but that's a high price to pay. That's a high price to pay. Read some more of the sweetest word of God, Tim. It says, and the chief commandment 33 came near, took him, commanded him to be bound with two chains. Now, you know, Paul wasn't that big. He didn't take that many chains to bind him. And where was he going to go anyway? But anyway, he was bound and wanted to know who he was. And some cried one thing among the multitude, and when he could not know the certainty of the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. I'm going to tell you something, Dear. People make it like Paul is so wicked. Look at what he goes through. They read Romans chapter 7 and don't read 2 Timothy chapter 3, the manner of life that he had, his faith, and the persecution that he endured, the things that he put up with. They make it like Paul was somebody trying to walk across the street and was giving out of breath, and then a car was parked in front of him and he couldn't go around and he just had to collapse on that side of the street and never made it across the road. That's not who Paul is. Paul is one of those kind of people, give me a pick and a shovel, and we're going to go under it, or we're going to climb over it. I'm going to get to where God wants me to, whether I get bound, whether I get beaten, or either killed. I'm going to be doing God's blessed work. The next verse says, verse number 35, and when he came upon the stairs, so it was, and he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. The soldiers had to take Paul up and carry him away because the people were trying to kill Paul. Paul is being led of the Spirit, I want you to know. Being led of the Spirit, he's not got a billboard. Being led of the Spirit, they're not in love with him. Being led of the Spirit, he tried to gain some. Being led of the Spirit, he even went through the ritual with them. Being led of the Spirit, he did and taught what God said, and it still hadn't stopped the people from hating him. Why is it so different when we talk about being led of the Spirit? Why? There's like an ungodly man told me yesterday. And one of the problems that I have is when you teach, you always talking about hellfire and damnation, or that God going to kick my, and he didn't say donkey. I said, and if you're wicked, he will. I don't compromise for God. I don't apologize for God being like he is. I don't apologize for my wife being beautiful. I don't apologize for her being my wife. Why would I apologize for God being who he is? That's an insult to God. I don't apologize for God not kissing up the people and demanding righteousness and executing righteous judgment for those who don't appreciate him, those who think his holiness is optional. I don't apologize. I'm not ashamed of him. Because of ugly and wicked, ungodly minded, vile, perverse people. And you think about in school how sometimes people, you might have a friend and you like her? You like him? And you say, well, what's wrong with him? Man, nobody likes him. And so you just join the bandwagon. I can guarantee, I can't guarantee you, but I can look at Bill Gates and I bet you people treated him in a bad way growing up. Now almost most of the homes in America paying him. I bet that's funny too. But let me read some more of the sweetest word of God. It says, the soldiers were bearing him for the violence of the people, verse 36, and the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him! Away, get rid of him! We don't want him! Oh, if you can feel the urgency of the moment, if you can feel what's going on, if you can feel that this man is walking in the Spirit, if you can feel that this man is trying to keep the will of God, if you can feel he could have escaped this right here, if you can feel that this man is being treated like what they would do with God, I'm telling you now, if we could take God right now and say, God, do us this one favor, come to earth and be a human, the whole Godhead, come to earth and be a human and allow us to be able to treat you with the honor or like we want to treat you and use none of your powers, I submit to you that God will be killed and thrown away and the whole earth would go into oblivion. Why? They don't like him. So when Paul is being led by the Spirit, the very thing that people hate about God, they threw on him. I submit to you that that's the lot of a Christian. Not saying there won't be any joy. Not saying there won't be any good days. There will. But with the more I believe God's Spirit is on you to do a work for him, I believe the more opposition you're going to have, though. Because you're going to be stirring up something. Let's finish this chapter, please. But Tim, I was waiting on you too. Okay, well, here I go. And as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou the Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 people, men that were murderers? But Paul says, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Sicilia, and a citizen of no mean city. No insignificant city, no unmarked city, no ignoble city. I'm of somewhere. A citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license or permission, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And there made a great silence. He spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, to be continued next week. On the saying. See, this man thought he had somebody. He thought he had this Egyptian insurrectionist that had came up and had led people talking about the walls are going to fall and that they were murdered and that would kill people, and they thought Paul was an Egyptian. I guess that lets you know he didn't look like he was lily white, right? I mean, do you feel that? Okay. Not saying he's dark as me, but I'm letting you know that Paul could pass for an Egyptian. But Paul is telling him where he's from. And he asked to speak. Now, that's two languages that you can see that Paul can speak. They're Greek and Hebrew. A lot of them did not speak Hebrew. And so, when he asked was this, they thought that some of these people may be of what they call a Sicarii, the men of the daggers, that would hide their daggers in their cloak and kill people. So Paul was mistaken. The man thought he had somebody important, somebody that had led so many people that was supposed to be going to fight and do things, and he had escaped, and he thought Paul was the man. And Paul's like, this is not who I am. And as we go through, we will see that Paul will go through who he is in chapter 22. He'll talk about his conversion. He'll talk about the things that God has done. And then you will find that not only that, Paul is going to show this man, not only is he not that Egyptian, but I'm somebody that you really better not put your hand on, or you're going to be in trouble with your government. Oh, this is magnificent stuff right here. And this is how Paul gets in the hands of the Romans. Being led of the Spirit. What does it really mean? Does it really mean that you're going to have the wisdom to do everything right? What job to take? Which foot to put first, the left or the right? Which car to drive if you have more than one car? which to get off with, if they want you to work overtime, whether to work overtime or not. Some things God are going to leave up to your discretion based on the things that you need to do, the way you organize your life. But when you're doing His work, if you feel that you're not led by the Spirit because of opposition, you're going to fail. You can say something to people sometimes that you know is right, and there's wickedness in a person's heart. And somebody can say to you, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're saying? Are you supposed to be saying this? Are you sure? Are you being led by God? But it's what does the will of God say? You know how I determine sometimes if I'm going to say something to you? First, I see a situation. Secondly, the person say something to me, or they bring it up. Or third, it's like, who else is going to say it if I don't? Because if that were everybody else saying, I promise you, it's like, well, if I don't say it, he'll say it. I probably would be that way. But we have too many people that's waiting on other people to say it. When is the Lord going to get somebody to be faithful on their own account and not worry about if somebody else says it? Because Paul says when he dealt with issues like that in Corinth, I planted and Apollos watered. All of us should be walking in the Spirit trying to do God's will. Now, we're open to see if there's anything in this passage that somebody saw that I did not cover that was really sticking out, or something that I did cover that they would like to speak on. Should I start with you, Ann?
No.
No, I should not?
Mm-mm.
Okay, thank you for giving me that. Is there anybody that would like to speak on this magnificent chapter? Well, I thank everybody for joining us tonight. What, I didn't give enough time? Oh, okay, well, I'll say it again. Is there anybody that would like to have anything to say on this chapter? Well, see, sometimes I do that because I realize that we are recording, and so that people that, you know, that would listen or whatever on the internet, they may not know that somebody's going to say something if I just leave it blank for a long time. Okay. Go ahead and cut it off.